Welcome to the Singular Links podcast. I'm Tony Parrish, aka Slinker. In this episode, we move from theory to motion. This episode explores the adjacent possible in action, how innovation unfolds step by step, how new combinations unlock new doors, and why progress tends to accelerate rather than move in a straight line. You'll hear how simple recombinations lead to exponential change, and why breakthroughs often feel sudden, even though they're built incrementally. This is chapter 4 of the book Singular Links. I hope you enjoy The Adjacent Possible in Action. The Adjacent Possible in Action. Let's dive deeper into the adjacent possible to explore how it connects to the process of discovery. Theoretical biologist Stuart Kaufman introduced the theory of the adjacent possible, TAP, which proposes that at any given moment, a finite set of possibilities exists and new discoveries emerge by recombining what is already known. Simple, right? As an example, look at early human history. The first tools emerged by combining existing materials. Tying a stone to a stick created a rudimentary hammer. A pointed stone affixed to a stick became a spear. A taut string between the ends of a curved stick transformed into a bow. Each innovation expanded the realm of possibilities, creating its own foundations for further advancements. If you look closely, you'll see there are actually multiple related ideas folded into the adjacent possible. The first idea is about expanding the boundaries of knowledge. Progress occurs through iterative expansion. The bow and arrow led to the crossbow, which led to firearms, and so forth. Each step forward iterates on previous steps and increases the area encompassed by the adjacent possible. The second idea is about recognizing the limits of the present. The adjacent possible is bound by what exists today. Just as a castaway on a desert island can't conjure a jet ski from thin air, innovation is constrained by available resources and knowledge. Future innovation is limited by present innovation, but its limits grow as current innovation grows. The third idea involves innovation as a combinatory process. Groundbreaking discoveries arise from recombining known elements in novel ways. Gutenberg's printing press was a recombination of two prior inventions, movable type and the screw press. The Wright brothers' 1903 flyer was a recombination of four inventions, an airfoil, a gas engine, a propeller, and bicycle wheels. These inventions are singular links. The whole is greater than the sum of their parts. Kaufman quantified TAP's combinatory process with a simple equation. He said, "The entire set of what is possible today is equal to everything that's available today, plus all the possible combinations of what's available today." This encompasses the totality of human knowledge, every tool, idea, and packet of information that's currently known, plus everything that is imminently discoverable from what is currently known. Reflecting on this concept reveals an awe-inspiring insight. All human innovation, from primitive tools to space exploration, represents a continuous expansion through the adjacent possible. It is a vast, ever-growing blob of ingenuity. In the film 2001, A Space Odyssey, a monkey flings a bone into the air and then, a moment later, it becomes a spaceship. This iconic scene encapsulates the essence of progress, the direct chain-link connections between past discoveries and future breakthroughs. I like to think of the adjacent possible in the context of the old game show, Let's Make a Deal. The show's host, Monty Hall, would ask contestants, "Do you want door number one, door number two, or door number three?" For each contestant, the adjacent possible represented all the potential items hidden behind all three doors. This could include a car, cash, or jewelry, if you were lucky, or a pig, goat, or donkey, if you weren't. Before opening the door, you wouldn't know what it concealed. the prize only became real through the act of opening the door, just like the cat in Schrödinger's box or the tasty filling in Forrest Gump's box of chocolates. We often view innovators as people who create new ideas, concepts, or inventions. But a different perspective shows innovators as the people who remove the veils that limit their perspective, thereby allowing discoveries to be seen. Innovators open doors to investigate what's behind them. The adjacent possible is like a foggy view of the near future that becomes clearer as it's explored. The process of exploring new possibilities actually creates new possibilities. Exploring increases the availability of what is possible. This mirrors the process of mind mapping, a brainstorming technique that generates an expanding web of interconnected ideas. Each revelation sparks new connections, much like opening doors leading to rooms with yet more doors behind them. And these new connections themselves spark new connections. It's like the genie in the lamp granting you a wish, and you wish for three more wishes. In mind mapping, the iterative process frequently produces ideas that are far removed from the original subject and would not have been discovered without having taken several intermediate steps. So what's the lesson? The lesson is, you don't need to know your destination before embarking on the journey. Innovation thrives in uncertainty. Hunches, intuition, and iterative exploration pave new ways to breakthroughs that were previously unimagined. Each of us encounters our own adjacent possible. It's not just about world-changing inventions like the printing press or human flight, but about pushing the edges of our known knowledge, challenging constraints, combining things you already know, and discovering new avenues forward. The accelerating pace of innovation. There's a colorful story from ancient India about the origins of chess. The inventor of the game brought it to a king who, impressed, offered him a reward of his choosing. The man asked for a single grain of rice for the first square of the chessboard, two for the second, four for the third, and so on, for all 64 squares on the board. The king agreed, thinking this was a modest request. However, he soon realized that he had unknowingly agreed to provide the man with more than all the rice that had ever been produced throughout history. Doubling the amount of rice 63 times would amount to more than 18 quintillion grains, or 18 million, million, million grains of rice. The ancient king serves as a reminder of the sometimes underappreciated nature of exponential growth. It's a concept that has captivated mathematicians, scientists, and futurists for centuries, and it lies at the heart of understanding the accelerating pace of change in the world. If you aren't paying attention to the dynamics of exponential growth, you risk underestimating consequences, failing to adapt, and missing critical opportunities. As Albert Einstein is alleged to have said, "Compound interest is the eighth wonder of the world. He who understands it earns it. He who doesn't pays it." Stuart Kaufman's adjacent possible theory offers a compelling framework for understanding the process of innovation. Innovation leads to more innovation, and the process continues exponentially. Exponential growth basically describes a process in which a quantity increases at a rate that is proportional to its current value. In other words, the larger the current value, the faster it continues to grow. This pattern of accelerating increase is sometimes referred to as superlinear growth, since it rises faster than a straight or linear rate of change. It happens when something increases by a constant percentage or factor over equal time intervals. For example, if the grains of rice double with each square, the actual number of new grains will get larger as the total amount of rice increases. This pattern results in a curve that starts off slowly but then rises sharply, reflecting the accelerating pace of growth over time. Exponential growth is common in contexts such as population dynamics, compound interest, and the spread of infectious diseases, where the rate of increase depends on the existing size of what is growing. By contrast, linear growth refers to a steady and consistent increase by the same fixed amount over equal time intervals. Unlike exponential growth, the rate of change in linear growth does not depend on the current value. It remains constant throughout. If you were to plot linear growth on a graph, it would appear as a straight line, showing a uniform increase over time. An example of linear growth would be adding the same number of units or the same amount of rice with each square. Because the increase is consistent, linear growth is predictable and progresses at a steady pace, making it very different from the accelerating nature of exponential growth. You frequently see this principle in the business world, where companies develop business models that can grow exponentially or linearly. Airbnb blended peer-to-peer sharing with the established infrastructure of residential properties. Uber capitalized on the integration of on-demand services with GPS technology. These companies, and others like them, have implemented exponential growth models, achieving multi-billion dollar valuations in short timeframes. Their success stems from their adept utilization of technology and innovation to achieve rapid scaling and global reach. Consider the contrast between a software company and a barber shop. The barbershop's growth is inherently constrained by its physical capacity, the number of chairs it has, and the number of barbers it can employ. If the barbershop wants to generate considerably more revenue, it has to hire considerably more barbers to give considerably more haircuts. Conversely, a software company's digital app has the potential to serve millions of users, or even billions, with minimal marginal cost. If the software company wants to generate more revenue, the app is already built. It doesn't have to do anything more except ensure its customers can access it. This distinction between the barbershop and the software company captures the core essence of businesses that have linear business models and those that have superlinear business models. As Kaufman's formula illustrates, the pace of change is directly proportional to the number of possible combinations. Humanity accumulates more knowledge and inventions over time, more ideas, concepts, patents, widgets, and so on. And the potential for new combinations explodes, leading to an accelerating rate of innovation. Exponential growth begets exponential growth. Kaufman observed, "My father was born in 1903. That's the year we created the airplane. My son was born in 1969. That was the year we landed on the moon. In 66 years, we got from before flight to our feet on the moon." Since you're listening to these words on an electronic device, chances are your device has more computing power than the world's most powerful computers 25 years ago. Kaufman's specific equation says the entire set of what is possible today is equal to everything that's available today, plus all the possible combinations of what's available today. If we moved everything that's available today from the right side of Kaufman's equation to the left side, the new equation denotes the pace of change. What's possible today minus what's available today is equal to all possible combinations of what's available today, or the pace of change. If we were to plot human ingenuity on a graph with the time scale on the horizontal axis and information on the vertical axis, we would see something that looked like a flat line for thousands of years with imperceptibly slow growth, changing to a steeper upward slope beginning around the time of the Industrial Revolution, and then suddenly shooting up to a nearly vertical line today. The same line plots the world's economic growth, or GDP. Looking back thousands of years, the economy remained more or less flat for centuries, with only slight variations resulting from war, famine, or technological breakthroughs. Then the pace of growth began to climb around the time of the Industrial Revolution and subsequent technological innovations. Today, it grows by amounts that would have been unimaginable to our ancestors. Kaufman wasn't the first person to analyze these ideas, far from it. In the late 18th century, the Reverend Thomas Robert Malthus observed that resources like the food supply grew linearly, 2 units, 3 units, 4 units, etc., while the human population grew exponentially, 2 units, 4 units, 8 units, etc. This mismatch, he predicted, would eventually lead to scarcity, hardship, social unrest, and population decline. The dilemma became known as the Malthusian trap. However, Malthus failed to anticipate the transformative power of the Industrial Revolution. Technological advancements in agriculture and manufacturing dramatically increased productivity, effectively addressing the supply side of the equation. In other words, human innovation leapfrogged the Malthusian trap by producing resources at a superlinear scale. Back in the 1970s and early 80s, another explorer of exponential growth, Buckminster Fuller, coined the term knowledge doubling curve, which observes that it takes shorter and shorter amounts of time for human knowledge to double. Fuller noted that in recent centuries, until around 1900, human knowledge doubled roughly every 100 years. By the mid-20th century, however, the rate had significantly increased. By 1945, it was doubling every 25 years. And by 1982, when Fuller published his book, Critical Path, he estimated it was doubling every 12 to 13 months. Building on Fuller's work, Ray Kurzweil, computer scientist, author, and inventor, references the law of accelerating returns, which points to the explosion of things like the number of scientific publications, the growth of the internet and digital storage, the computational capacity of AI systems, and the expansion of databases and human-created content. Kurzweil describes how information technology and knowledge are progressing at an ever-increasing rate. He extrapolated to the natural conclusion: doubling time would become so short that human advancements would essentially balloon ever larger at every moment. Stated succinctly, Kurzweil alleges humanity is approaching the point where our entire stock of knowledge is essentially doubling every moment. Let that sink in for a moment. From the time you begin listening to this sentence to the time the sentence finishes, the entire stock of human information has doubled. Kurzweil called this the singularity, with a capital S, in his book, The Singularity is Near. The natural implications would be a world where humans and technology merge, and people could essentially live as long as they wanted to live with the help of nanobots, biotechnology, regenerative processes, and AI. Quote, people will soon have the choice to live as long as they want to live, Kurzweil alleges. If you're thinking this all sounds like a Netflix sci-fi series, you're not alone. There are lots of entertaining movies about time travel that bring future technology to the present or present technology to the past. The Terminator and Terminator 2, cyborgs from the future looking for present-day John Connor. Minority Report, where cops can see crimes committed in the future and use that information to apprehend criminals before they act. And Back to the Future, where a teenage Marty McFly uses a time-traveling DeLorean to encounter his parents when they were teenagers, are just a few examples. So what's the lesson? I think there are two important lessons, both relating back to the king and the chessboard. First, don't be caught off guard by exponential growth. It has the power to change a situation from utterly insignificant to monumentally significant over a shockingly short time. If you're like most people, your mind tends to think linearly, which means you're probably not accustomed to spotting runaway growth as it's happening. This can be dangerous. As Mike Campbell replied in Hemingway's The Sun Also Rises when asked how he went bankrupt, two ways, gradually and then suddenly. Don't be like the victim in the slasher movie who scans the rain-soaked night for the predator, notices just a faint movement in the distance, and then suddenly screams as a flash of lightning reveals the predator is right here, right now. Exponential growth causes big things to appear out of nowhere. The second lesson is, don't underestimate the pace of change. Kurzweil points out that when people estimate how long it will take to achieve a certain milestone, they usually benchmark the time to today's pace. But that's a mistake. Extrapolating forward at today's pace causes people to overestimate the time it will take to achieve the milestone. The pace of advancement is not constant. Rather, the pace is accelerating. Beware of the pitfalls of overestimation. As that warning in the car mirror says, objects are closer than they appear. In the same way, change is closer than it appears. In a world of exponential change, adaptability is crucial. Individuals and organizations must be able to learn and adapt quickly to keep up with change and stay ahead of it. This means shifting our mindset from linear to superlinear thinking. Just as Apple Computer's old slogan was, "Think different," the takeaway from this lesson is, "Think exponential." As the adjacent possible shows how new possibilities emerge step by step, let's next explore what happens when those steps accumulate, revealing how expansion can become a powerful engine of transformation. That's a wrap. Thanks for tuning in. If you'd like to explore more ideas like this, you can find much, much more at singularlinks.com. If you're feeling frisky, tell your friends and family, in-laws and outlaws. Music was provided by the Slink Tones. Until next time, connect the unconnected, create the unexpected.